Hello, I'm Jeffrey Brown. Later tonight, we're going to be covering the Lance Armstrong story on the NewsHour. But here at the NewsHour, we have our own resident cyclist and cycling expert, none other than Ray Suarez. And we thought we would talk about the story a little bit ahead of time. So, Lance Armstrong, I mean, for those who don't follow this, why is he such a focal point?
For Americans who've never paid attention to cycling at all, who've never watched a moment of the Tour de France, Lance Armstrong is likely the only cycling name they can pull out of their memory. I mean, he's as huge and then bigger than the sport, certainly here in the United States.
Now, talk about the sport, because this is, you and I have this sort of friendly disagreement, I guess. I mean, there's some sports we agree on. We both love baseball. I love basketball and football. You not so much. Cycling, you love. And I admit, I don't get it.
I love it for aesthetic reasons. I think it's a beautiful sport. But I also love it because I do it. Mm-hmm. So when I watch somebody wobbling up a high mountain pass at the front of a bicycle race, straining out of the saddle, trying to cover a 15-18% incline, I know what that's like because I've done it.
Right.
So I know what your quads feel like. I know what your lungs feel like when you're trying to get every last bit of oxygen in to make it over that hill. So when I watch, I'm stunned at the athleticism, the endurance, but also the sheer dedication of the many, many hours out of race that go into those few hours in the race.
And so inspired to take on a mountain yourself.
From time to time, yeah.
Now, the Armstrong accusation, I mean, we've been covering this for a long, long time. This goes way back. He has always fought this. I mean, he has fought this tooth and nail, right?
He has been very litigious, ready to bring considerable legal firepower to bear whenever an accusation is even breathed in an offhand comment in a press report from a foreign newspaper, an implication, because this was damaging to a guy who was now building a post-cycling career as a spokesman for products, as a worldwide symbol of the battle against cancer.
Say, he's a larger-than-life image.
Absolutely, and there was a lot to protect. Yeah. And he fought strenuously in foreign courts, in American courts, against anyone who came forward with an accusation. And on his side was the fact, as he said time and again, he had never failed a doping test. Mm-hmm. Well, then there started to be accusations that, in fact, there were problematic tests.
Right.
You're constantly giving fluids when you're a professional cyclist. And there were tests from the late 90s that were said to indicate that he had taken performance-enhancing drugs, but there was a problem with the chain of custody, there was a problem with the tests. There was always a technicality that allowed him to stay just one bike length ahead of the accusations.
There's also this, we were talking about this after our morning meeting and a little earlier in your office, there is this sort of arcane anti-doping regime, right, it's hard to follow. I mean, all these names, there's the U.S., there's the world, and it could be appealed here, it could be appealed there.
Right, and these are not governmental organizations. They don't have subpoena power and investigative powers, but they've had a tremendous impact on the sport. There's each country's individual anti-doping regime. Then there's a world anti-doping regime. Mm-hmm. And then every sport has its own international governing body. So here's a triangle with the Americans on one point, the World Agency on another, and the UCI, the International Cycling Union, on another corner, each with its own set of interests and each with its own set of authorities. Because you can't race. Unless UCI signs off on you, you can't race. Can't just show up dressed to race and say, okay, I'm racing today. You have to have a license that's internationally sanctioned. Mm-hmm. And that's what these bodies have been able to hold over these racers over the years. They could end their careers.
What's his, just going back to where you started, you said Lance Armstrong is the guy who, if you don't know anybody else, you've heard of him. But what about within this world that you follow so closely? What is his reputation today?
As someone who is a tenacious competitor, not a nice guy. No one says, boy, I love that Lance Armstrong. What a great
guy.
Hoping
he gets through this.
Yeah, right. I mean, he is respected, feared but not loved. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was his reputation in the pro peloton during his competitive years. No one took anything away from his prodigious powers on the bike, but people weren't getting all warm and fuzzy about him. They respected him tremendously. He had a very tight, close circle of friends, some of whom are supposedly prepared to testify yeah. against him. Yeah. And apart from the occasional journalistic exposé, mm-hmm. there was the code of omerta, silence inside the professional ranks about whether or not Lance was doping.
Although I just was reading a story citing a French newspaper today. I don't know if crowing is quite the right word, but they were saying, aha, you know, finally. Yeah.
L'Equipe has been on his case for a long time. And that's one of his real adversaries yeah. in this whole yeah. more than a decade-long fight over whether he's been cheating or not.
All right, we will be talking more about this on the NewsHour tonight. For now, Jeffrey Brown and...
Ray Suarez, ready for a ride. And I don't dope.